At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey guys, it's Autumn Ray with Beyond the Record, and today I have rising R&B star Jessica Jolia here with me today. How are you doing today, Jessica?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. We're talking a little bit off camera, and I just want to know a little bit more about your musical background, like why you started in music.
I think music has been a part of me probably since before I got here. My dad, when my mother was carrying me, so way before I was here, but on the way here, he would put headphones on her stomach, and he would just play stuff that he loved and stuff that he thought would, you know, inspire me and perhaps contribute to, I guess, a certain level of intelligence, because he would play like classical music and he would play jazz. And the stuff that he loved was R&B and funk and probably some pop and maybe like some soft rock. But I heard lots of different things before I got here. And then my mom has like all these little stories of me being a kid and making my dolls sing to each other instead of talk. So wow. I think like probably especially because he did that while I was developing, when I came out, it was like, oh, music. Okay, let's go.
No, that's great. So did you, were you ever involved in anything in your, like if you went to church or your school and stuff like that, you were involved in different groups?
Yeah. So my father has been a minister since I was about like 5 or 6. Oh. So I definitely was like singing in church. I started out in terms of formal training. I started out playing different instruments in grade school. So I started with the alto saxophone. And it's funny because I had a friend who was like this teeny tiny little petite girl. And she's like so sweet. But she went with the tenor saxophone. And I was like, okay, if she can carry that, I can carry that too. So it's like, why are we competing? But in my mind, I felt like I had to. So I'm like, no, I need the bigger saxophone. Like I need the big one. And so I played the alto for a year and then I went to tenor and then I stuck with tenor through college. And then like my junior year of high school, in addition to singing that I was doing in church already, I was in choir, and then there was like a vocal ensemble that I was in as well. And that was a little more advanced, and we competed against other high schools. So that was a different type of singing for me, because at home, if I'm not, you know, singing, you know, church music, I'm singing like the stuff that I'm listening to or my parents are listening to, which was always leaning more R&B, funk, jazz type of a thing. So I kind of jumped into a different mode when I was in, you know, the vocal ensemble and the choir, because it was like very structured and either Broadway or classical in terms of focus. But it gave me a lot. And so I just continued to like, you know, build from there and go from there. And eventually I went to I have a few different degrees now, but my first degree program was classical vocal, and I got a scholarship based on a performance that, you know, I really would not have even tried to do if it weren't for my choir director in high school. Wow. So it's a very interesting journey, because like I've always loved music, but the path that I took is not something that I could have foreseen as I was growing and going, because I was really focused on, in terms of musicianship, jazz and orchestra. And then like the singing in choir was kind of for fun, and I was doing it with friends who also like to sing, but it turned into a scholarship opportunity. So it is great. Been in different groups and organizations, and I'm kind of still doing that now.
Oh, that's amazing. I always like to ask that too, because I feel like when you grow up in the church, it's just a different type of training that you get. There's just like a different, you always can tell. That's why I actually, as I felt it, I can like hear it in your singing too. So like, I feel like she's a church girl. I can definitely hear it. And it's like, definitely, I mean that as a definite compliment as well, because that is, I think, the most amazing training that you can ever get. And you just exceeded that as well, like going from the church, different organizations, all of that. Like, girl, you're amazing.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I appreciate so much having, I guess, my beginning experiences and my initial exposure really being grounded in the church, because when you're singing at church, it's not, you know, you're not singing to impress people. You're singing from your heart, from your soul. And, you know, and you're giving up your thanks and your praise, and it allows you to go to places that, you know, maybe other genres, or if we're not even being specific to genre, just other instances might not necessarily call for. So it's nice to be able to, even if it's a pop song that I'm writing or singing, it's nice to be able to say, but let's dig though. Let's make sure we're digging while we're doing that.
Yes. Yeah. And that's exactly, you just exactly explained it perfectly. Cause I think it's the heart that you feel when you are listening to people like you, and like, you just can tell that you're in love with this, and this is just, you know, why you're here. You know, this is like almost like your purpose. So yeah. Love that. You know, you talked a lot about, you know, your parents growing up and like, influencing you on the music that you heard growing up. So what would you say are some of the artists they listened to, and then maybe some of the artists that you were leaning towards, like in the beginning of your career?
So my mom listened to like lots of different artists and lots of different styles of music. Some of it popular on the radio, some maybe like B-sides of like albums. In terms of like, I would say probably more like pop music or like soft rock. My dad, primarily R&B and really heavy and funk. And that's where I lean the most. Not that I have like tons and tons of funk records, but if you listen to the music that I've put out so far, a lot of it has a certain pulse and it's in a certain pocket. And I kind of like that bouncy rhythmic type of a feel, even if it's not, like I said, a funk record. My dad's love for Chaka Khan definitely spilled over on me. I love her, love her, love her so much. And he listened to Parliament a lot. I still listen to Parliament. Roger and Zap a lot. Like Heartbreaker is probably one of my favorite songs. It's the song that like, if I wake up and everything is going bad from the moment I wake up, if I play that song, it's like, it's a good day though, you know? So, and yeah. And then I think, you know, as I got older and I got to be more choosy, I guess, because I'm listening to what I want to listen to. I definitely listen to Stevie Wonder. I listen to Earth, Wind & Fire. I listen to Whitney Houston. My parents both loved and love her still. Janet, because she's so fun and spunky. Michael Jackson, you know, the epitome of so many epitomes. And Prince, for sure, because he was so bold and so different and also so in tuned with the industry and humanity, and was not afraid to speak on the subject matters that were very important, even if potentially there may have been consequences depending on, you know, what his situation and where he was in terms of his agreements and contracts with labels, but his boldness and just his musicianship and willingness to be so authentic. Love.
Yeah. Oh my God. You named like all the classics. Those are people that I grew up listening to too. So it felt good. Like hearing that, it's just like our parents just had really, really good music. But I also think that, you know, for the next generation too, and us, it's just like, we have such great people to look up to. And then now we can create our own lane and just like have our own brand of it. So yes.
Yes.
So from your own discography, what are about three songs that you would tell fans to listen to get to know you a little better as an artist?
I think probably the first, I would say Sometimes, that was my first single and just my first like total just willingness to just, okay, let's just do this and and be me. And not try to be overly conscious of like, what should I do? What are people thinking I'm going to do? What is everybody else doing? And not so much in terms of, you know, my life at that time, because it wasn't really written from a, this is what I'm going through. It's just a perspective that I feel like many people can relate to. Mm-hmm. And it also showcases vulnerability. It showcases the way that I write songs, and features a lot of backgrounds and harmonies, which I think is my favorite thing about mm-hmm. writing and composing. So I would definitely do that. Caught in the Middle is another one. Also very vulnerable. Musically, I think it's beautiful. Between the production, which was Jan Hunter Jr., and then Keith and Foster played bass and Joe Archie on string arrangement. Just gorgeous music. And it, when I heard the music, it just made me think of like my journey growing up as a young musician and aspiring to get better and being able to write a song that's so musical, but yet still, you know, has enough of a relatability and also to an extent, perhaps even a commercial appeal. Mm-hmm. You know, that I think people would enjoy, and especially lyrically speaking, because it's like, it's the situation where you're like, that situation is probably bad. I still love them though. Mm-hmm. That situation like could be good, but I don't really know it though. What do I do? Mm-hmm. And yeah, then I feel like we've all been there, right? I feel like yeah. men and women alike mm-hmm. and everyone in between. I feel like you've mm-hmm. been in a situation where it's just like, I don't know what to do. Because there's pros and cons either way. Mm-hmm. And then it would probably be a tie between Ooh La La and Mink Coat, but I think I would choose Mink Coat just because it was inspired by my grandmother, who mm-hmm. she's passed away many years ago, but she was truly like anyone, even my parents, anyone closely related to me would tell you, like in my mind, I thought she was my best friend, like for real. Like people were like, you know, in school, like, oh, my best friend is so good. No, my grandma's my best friend. And I spent so much time with her, and she, like, as long as I was alive, she had various health issues that she had to deal with, but she was such a strong person, and she showed a great example of being strong and being compassionate and showing so much love to family in spite of all that she was going through. And she was my mm-hmm. biggest cheerleader in music. So when I was younger, I was very shy and like, oh, I love to sing, but like at home, like in the mirror, like not, you know, not. Mm-mm, not in front of people. So she would be like, no, you have a gift, you got to use your gift, and the more you'd use it and the more that you know sing in front of people, the more comfortable you will be. And she was right. And so when I wrote that song, it was the last song that I actually wrote on the EP, and I wanted to, you know, figure out a way to, like, you know, do a tribute to my grandmother and pay homage to her, but not something that would make me sad, because there were times in the past that I would try to, okay, let me just write a song and in memory of my grandmother, and I get so sad. And I'd be like, I don't even think she would want me to do that. I got to think of the good thing. So it's very sassy and spunky. And it's yeah. like me envisioning like what she was like when she was young, before I was even here, but also telling people like, hey, you gotta protect your energy. That's your job. Because mm-hmm. if you don't, you're out here in the midst of all these people that are going to pull and take and twist and turn and grab what they can get out of you. And you got to know and have discernment and know, like, these are good people, these are not. This is a good situation, this is not. And all the while, you can jam to it.
Yeah. And that's what I think I love about that song, too, because it's just so fun, but also gives you those great teachings. And, like, while we're talking about it, like, let's just talk about the song in general. You said, like, it was about your grandmother, but also the remix that you have Kevin Ross on there, who gives you kind of, like, the male perspective. So what was the conversation you speaking with Kevin Ross to get him on the remix?
So Jan, and again, Jan Hunter Jr., he produced the EP, The Life, and mm-hmm. amazing human above everything. He's an amazing mm-hmm. human, but he's super, super talented and very meticulous about his approach to everything. And so we did the EP, and then I was like, yeah, like, I think we should pick a song to do a remix to. And then he was like, yeah, I think we could do a really good Mink Coat remix. And I said, oh, okay, cool. And he was like, I know just the guy. But he kind of left it at that. And I knew like a few people who Jan had already worked with and kind of works with continuously in terms of production. But I didn't know, you know, who he was going to reach out to initially. Mm-hmm. And then when he told me, I said, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, let me know, you know, what he thinks about it. And he's, you know, it, at the time was in the process of finishing his own project and preparing for a tour. So I was like, if he even has time, just, you know, I would appreciate it. Mm-hmm. So we get in a group chat and then Jan sends me, you know, his verse like within a few days. And I said, oh, this is amazing. Like this. Wow. Is, and he said, the truth behind it is Jan produced the song some time ago and sent it to Kevin in a folder. Mm-hmm. And he just didn't write to it. He chose some other songs to write to. And so it ended up coming to me. And mm-hmm. so when he heard it, it was like, I remember that song. And also, I like this now. Let me do this.
See, isn't that beautiful though? Like hear yeah. your voice on, it's like, oh yeah, no, I need to hop on this. Like it's so crazy yes. how things can happen that way. Oh yeah, yes. This is why I love asking these questions, because I love getting like the background information on all of this. Yes, I love it. I'm going to go backpedal a little bit. So you released the EP, The Life, back in November. So in general, just for like the basis of this project, like what was your inspiration? Like, what do you want fans to feel when they hear it?
I think that's a great question because it's layered. So, you know, I have worked in different capacities in the music industry for 10 plus years. And since I released my very first single, I knew at some point I wanted to release a full project, but it was a matter of timing. Mm-hmm. And I say that because I was always doing so many things. I was touring, singing background for this person, this person, this person. I was writing for this person, this person, this person. And when I could squeeze in time, I was writing for me. So it was something I always wanted to do, but I never wanted to rush to do it. And I wanted to make sure that when I did, it was a reflection of me in that moment, but also all the things that I've experienced, all the things that matter to me, all the things that I think are important, you know, for other people to hear from my perspective, but also feel like, oh, okay, I'm not alone in this. No, I can relate to this.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think what was behind it is that I always knew, you know, I wanted to do it. I just wanted to do it the right way. And so when the opportunity presented itself, which was literally to me, it came down to connecting with the right producer musically, because I wanted to work with someone who understood music, at least at the same capacity as me, but hopefully elevated, mm-hmm. so that I could communicate ideas and not feel like, oh, like we just do this. I just mm-hmm. do this, you know, like this is all that I can do. Mm-hmm. And so in connecting with Jan, which we connected literally, we still haven't met in person. We connected online.
Oh, wow.
Yes. But mm-hmm. connecting with him and having an opportunity to listen to his music completely separate from me and knowing like, okay, this is the type of producer I want to work with. And then after doing one song together and seeing the process was so easy and so smooth and we speak the same language, so to speak, mm-hmm. then it was just like, okay, now it's a go. So now all of these years that I've been saying, I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it, I finally did it. And even though it took longer than I'm sure I initially thought it would take, it came from a place of so much more experience and a deeper understanding of not just the industry, but of myself and the impact that I want to make in music, through music, you know, on people, whether it's locally or abroad. And I think the timing was perfect because for me, my objective, although it has developed over time, my objective has always been to make good music that makes people feel good. Yeah. And you know that the people can take something away from and feel like I'm not alone in this, or I feel better because of this, or I have a new perspective because of this. I've never been the person to say, oh, I just want to be an artist and I want to be famous. And to this day, like, you know, if my music can be famous and not me, that's cool. If you can blow up my music and not me, that's yeah. great. And not because I don't like people. It's just, I like to travel to Starbucks and know that no one's going to bombard me with questions. I like to just be a normal walking person, navigating through life like everybody else, experiencing life like everybody else. And I'm just so glad that now I have a project that represents like everything that I've been through, all the things that matter to me in a way that I feel like is digestible and most importantly, that people can relate to, because it's like a soul to soul thing. This is from my heart. This is from my soul to yours.
As I'm saying, that's what I can feel too by like listening to this project. It does seem like this was very much like your thing, something that, you know, you've been wanting to do for a long time. We hear all of these different type of success stories too. I'm thinking of like Victoria Monet and like how she was like always songwriting, and then now she has like her moment to like work on her project, and she got so many accolades for her project because, you know, like you're good at one thing, which is great, but you're also good at multiple things, and you know, you're able to, I totally understand like with wanting to not be separate from your work, but rather, I personally, as a writer, I love when people share my articles, you know, like that's great. Like, I love that, like share my work. But I think there's just something that you have to something you have to give when you're like a public figure that, you know, you still want your privacy. And then you can hear more about my life, like for you through your songs, through me, through my articles. Like, that's great. Mm-hmm. That's as close as you're going to get to me. Like, I want to go to Starbucks and just drink my coffee, you know, travel, don't be bombarded at the airport, girl. I totally, totally understand. So, and you want to be, I think that's just like the ultimate compliment. It's just someone just really supporting your work too. So I love this. one of my favorites on this project was Ooh La La, which I love a nostalgic, like it was giving like nostalgia and like 90s vibes and stuff. And it's just, I don't know, I just really, really related to it, I feel. So what was like the thought process of having this as your opening track on the album?
So I had already released it as a single. Mm-hmm. And then I was going through everything that we'd done for the project. And to me, it seemed like a great flow and progression. If you're paying attention to any type of a storyline, not that the EP is like, this is the story of what happened. Mm-hmm. But the order of the songs that we chose is kind of like, okay, this flows in a certain way. Mm-hmm. I chose it for a few reasons. At the time, and probably still now, it was performing exceptionally well on TikTok, and I felt like it was a song that people were the most familiar with. Mm-hmm. But because I'm the kid who loves the music her parents love, I had that same feeling that you just described, like, oh, this feels like old but kind of new, but like it's got like a retro type of a vibe. And I just felt like it was a good introduction to me, because I'm like the marriage of the old and the new. And so I want, you know, people to feel that through the music. Although, you know, sometimes there might be things that feel newer and some things that might feel more retro. Mm-hmm. You know, my approach is always like, take everything that I know, everything I want to do, and put it together.
Yeah.
So I felt like, you know, for anybody who never heard anything else that I released prior to that, it was a good introduction of me in terms of the content and the subject matter, but really more importantly to me, just the feel. It's just a nice groove you can listen to any time of the year, makes you feel good. The opening line talks about the fall. I wrote it in the summertime, but fall is my favorite season. So I just lean that way. So people like, they really want to get to know like me and my art. Like that's it's a great place to start. And I just felt like because of that, it was the right song to choose to open the EP.
Yeah. And I think I did hear it on TikTok actually first. And I love that you, because I think there's always some like, I don't know why. I mean, I'm not a musical artist, so maybe you could answer this question. But sometimes there's like a misconception of just like, putting a popular song on your project versus just like having all like newer songs from a specific project? So do you think that just in general, or maybe you could just like speak to your own music, do you like the fact that you were able to have this song that a lot of fans connected with on your project first, or you just think that it's probably better maybe in the future you'll just have more just songs that are just dedicated to, like, you know, that just one project?
No, I think because my objective is like really to impact people in the best ways possible, when you mm-hmm. see what people are enjoying, then you give them that. So yeah. It's like, you know, my favorite song, you might listen to and be like, it's all right. But like, I like this one, that's my jam, you know? Mm-hmm. And so like, in my mind, I know what my favorite songs are, but if I'm looking and my objective is like, you know, you want to make people feel good. You want to make people feel like they're not going through life alone, or, you know, you want to uplift people, whatever the case might be, given, you know, the situation in the song, mm-hmm. those are the things that I'm mindful of. So, you know, I, at the point of releasing the EP, we had already released a few singles, but mm-hmm. I saw like, no, people still, like months later, they love this song. Well, mm-hmm. let me give everybody else who doesn't know that song yet that song first, because mm-hmm. there's a reason that they love and enjoy it. Mm-hmm. It's not about me, because if it's about me, then yeah, then it's about what do I think is going to be the most popular? You know, what's probably going to chart? What's going to put me in the best position for XYZ award? And awards are great, and they are the product and the result a lot of times of hard work and years and years and years of dedication and lots of time being unseen for a long time. But yeah. that's not my primary. That's something that if it comes, it's like, that's dope. Like, on top of touching people's lives, also an award, great. Mm-hmm. But my focus is more people focused and community focused. So it's like, they love that, give them that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that too, because a lot of times, like, I will be listening to artists that might not be so known right now, and then they'll put mm-hmm. out the project, and I'm just like, dang, like, why didn't you put the song that everyone was vibing with? Because I want more people to know about you. Like, mm-hmm. that is just, like, I feel like my job. And also, I just feel like it's just great when you can, like, put someone on an artist, and then they're just like, wow, like, this, their discography is really great. Then you start going back and back and back. But a lot of times people, unless they're really, really into music, they're not going to do that. They're going to listen to the project maybe, and then that's that. And they're missing out on so many gems from the discography because you didn't put it on the project. I just, like, want to scream sometimes, but then I get it. Everyone has their own, like, artistic process. So, you know, yeah.
what am I saying? I think just quickly, because that's really important that you mentioned. I think a lot of it too sometimes is just that you kind of feel pressured to just put out something new depending on what your objectives are, right? So like when you're looking at like pitching to DSPs or pitching to radio, it's a risk and a gamble sometimes to put something on your new EP that you put out last year. Because it's like, technically that's not new. But me, I'm always thinking like, but it's new to everybody who never heard it before. And if this many people love it now, imagine how many more people might enjoy it. Don't discount it and just say, oh, well, that was the single that I put out last year. I can't put it on the new project. Why? So I don't follow those rules. I just think of people first and say, they liked it then, more people might like it now.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's like a smart thing. I know there's always some type of like rules that like artists have to follow as well. And rules suck. And I feel like the best, like we were talking about Prince earlier too, about how he was just a rule breaker, very bold and everything. And I felt like when you are someone, especially an artist, can use your platform to do something like that. And also do it with how you move through the industry. It just says a lot to the people that are listening to you. And I don't think sometimes people actually realize that, because we're watching too. We're just like, wow, that person did that, this and that. Like, they streamrolled a whole different, this is how other artists are now copying off of like their trajectory, you know? So it's cool to be just like a tastemaker in that as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to talk about your last track too. So the title track, right? Who are these cute little kids that are on this track? I was like, and who are they? And like, why did you decide to have them on the song? This song is just so, so uplifting. And it's like the title track, as you guys know. So it's called The Life, though. Check it out.
So that is actually featuring my nephew and my two nieces, Leo, Zoe, and Sarai. For a while it was just Leo, and I would have him do a few things here and there on singles that I released. But when I finally was like, okay, this is going to be the project, this is what it's going to look like, this is what it's going to feel like, I knew, I didn't know which song, but I knew like they have to be a part of it, because I'm trying to, you know, in the midst of all of these other objectives, also give people the opportunity to know me a little more intimately. And putting them on that song for me was showing people I love my family. I love, love, love my family. I love children, but I also love, love, love my family.
Yeah.
So Leo had already, he's almost six. He had already had experience on other songs when he was like two. I would just like, he just get on, just sit right here, just do whatever. I'll let him do whatever. And then I would use what I could use. Zoe, she was younger. So she's not even three yet. And Sarai, she's not even two. So it was interesting. It was a different experience with each one of them, because Leo was like, oh, I know this. I bet. Okay. Well, give me the microphone. I'm ready.
Okay,
now I would just sing it to him and say, okay, now sing that. He was great. Zoe was kind of like a little shy, but she listens to my music with her brother. So she's like, okay, this is Auntie JJ. I'm singing for Auntie JJ. And then Sarai was just like, I'm not here for this. Like, she was not here for it. She was like, where's the snacks? Like, what are we doing? Like, I didn't sign up for this. Where's my check? So my sister Gina, she finally was like, okay, put her on my lap and I'm gonna tickle her and you just hit record when you need her to do something. And I was like, okay, great, so let's go. And so I got her a little laugh at the end and it was perfect. But yeah, I wanted them to be a part of it, because I'm thinking about the songs that, you know, made a difference in my life, and also things that stood out to me in terms of the music I was listening to as I was growing up. And I remember Stevie Wonder having like, oh, look, his daughter's crying on the record. That's so cute. And she's laughing. And, you know, just so I wanted to have something of my own that when they are older, you know, they can listen to and look back on and say, oh, well, I remember, you know, and maybe they won't, and probably the littlest ones won't. But it's like, wow, like, that's something that I got to do with my aunt. And you know, they'll be here long after me. So I wanted something that, you know, reflected my love for my family, and also give something to people who can relate on that level. Like, family is really important to me. And like you said, uplifting. Put out a song that has an uplifting message. We're in interesting times, and you know, I don't get into politics much on these platforms because people, you know, about that. But I just say, you know, we're in interesting times, and people are, everybody across the board is trying to find the best way to navigate all of these different things. And I wanted to just give us a song that was like, you know what? It's still good. It's still good. And, you know, give people a reason to just have a reminder, I guess, to just remember to have gratitude wherever you're at in your life. And even if you're not where you want to be, just to kind of give you an opportunity to reflect, like, yeah, it's been tough, but isn't everything worth having tough sometimes, you know?
That's a word.
Yeah.
That is a word. That is so, so true. And I agree with you. We are in some trying times. Eggs are $10. Like, it's crazy. Okay, we are going through it. But I like to think that there are going to be so many brighter days, like, on the other side, that we're going to get through all of this craziness, seriously. And we're going to get through it. I think music is definitely a way to help soothe that pain, for sure. It's like, you can kind of just block everything out for, you know, like 30 minutes or something and just listen to music, especially songs like this that are just so uplifting and make you want to like think about life. I think sometimes it's just like when we work really hard, I'm just like, I just need a vacation. I just need some time away from this space in my life right now. And I'm going to get through it. It just might, like you said, it's going to be, might be tough right now, but you're going to get through it. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that is a word. So lastly, for our interview section, I just want to know, what are some goals that you have for this year? What are some things that fans can look forward to from you?
In terms of looking forward to new things, I think probably what's coming up the soonest is a single that I'm featured on. It's called Exist, and the main artist is Nick Tran. So great guy, great talent, out of Sacramento. Mm-hmm. And that I believe that comes out, because it's not, I'm not controlling the release date, so don't quote me, but I think it's 27th.
Okay.
I'm also a featured artist on Jan's upcoming EP. And then he and I are also working on another EP that will be probably late spring, early summer.
Nice.
And in the meantime, just enjoy the life and enjoy your life, but enjoy the life.
Yes, absolutely. Where can we follow you? Because I'm definitely, oh wow, I'm sat for that EP with you and Jan. I can't wait. You guys work so well together, so I definitely will be listening to that, as well as like the other singles that you're featured on. So where can we follow you to keep up with everything?
So my website is just jessicajolia.com. All of my socials are at Jessica Jolia. The only exception is YouTube. I still don't know what's going on with it because no one has my handle, but I can't get my handle. So we're working on it, but it's Jessica Jolia. Everything else is Jessica Jolia. And yeah. And if you want to email me at all, it's info@jessicajolia.com.
Yes. So before I let Jessica go, she's going to do a quick rapid fire set of questions to get know her better. Don't worry. They're not evil. They're actually very, very sane. Don't worry. Okay. So what is your zodiac sign?
Do I have to tell you? Can I have you guess first?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, my God. Wow. I'm going to say Cancer.
Yep.
Is it?
Yep.
You're lying. No. I was going between Cancer and Taurus for some reason. Hmm. Like, that's what got me first. But your personality reminds me so much like of one of my friends. And I'm just skipping Cancer, and I love it. So yes, I'm so good at this.
You got it.
Yay. Who is an artist that you would love to collab with in the future?
Miguel.
Ooh. Oh, love me some Miguel. Yes, yes. Who was your teen celebrity crush?
Teen. They ain't gonna date me. So let's just say my probably like long-term forever crush, because he's older than me and it doesn't matter. So it's my zaddy crush.
Okay, yes, yes.
Morris Chestnut. In the day of the week.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I feel like it's mostly like you can't go wrong with Denzel or more.
Yeah.
Like, you really can't go wrong. Mm-hmm. What are five things that you always have in your bag?
Girl. Oh, Lord. Lipstick, eye drops, because I have the worst allergies. A pen, because I don't like using other people's pens.
Mm-hmm.
Some amount of cash, because my dad is always like, girl, you got to have some kind of cash. Like, even That's if nice. You only got a little bit, you need to have cash.
Mm-hmm.
Last one. I'm trying to think of something that, like, people wouldn't think of. Like, my credit card and a business card.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's solid. That is solid. My dad's the same way with cash. He's always like, Autumn, you need to have some type of cash with you. I don't care where you're going. Mm-hmm. You need some type of cash. It is true. It is true. It is very, very true.
But you never know, right? I mean, and I always was like, oh, yeah, everybody, you got your phone now. I don't even really need a, you know, a wallet. But
yeah,
there have been times where it's like, yeah, I need that cash.
What is an album that you'd love to listen to again for the first time?
Oh. Probably Songs in the Key of Life, Stevie Wonder.
Oh yeah. Classic. Classic. And lastly, if you weren't a singer, you would be blank. So what other career would you have?
A doctor, for sure. Ooh. I'm like, I always vacillated between like, am I going to do music or am I going to do medicine? To this day, I'm obsessed with medicine and science. Like, I probably know way more than the average person just because. I think it's fascinating. And I still keep up to date with as much as I can, because so much information changes and there's new treatments for so many different types of conditions. And just because I think it's natural to me, because it's the same type of, I want to help people. So I help people with your music now, but if it wasn't music, medicine gives you the opportunity to help people.
Yes. I was just about to say that, because I feel like that was one of the themes basically for your whole album, but also just like you in general with music. And I was like, I think she's going to connect this. And then you said it. I was like, oh, perfect. Yes. That it was so nice speaking with you today, Jessica.
You too. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate you.
Of course. Anytime. And I cannot wait for your new singles as well as that EP. I'll be hounding you for it, girl. So
I'll make sure I give it to you first.
Yes, please. Honestly, yes. Thank you. Yes, I would love that.